There was a big hearing on pre-K education, this idea. And as folks know, I'm a huge fan of pre-kindergarten programs and early childhood education. I think those are the most formative years, the most important years. And I have nothing more to base that on than I look at my three children. And I think any parent who has put their kids through those programs, they see the light bulb go on at a very young age. And they do an awful lot better, which is why we have asked Pennsylvania State Representative Steve McCarter to come and talk with us. He's one of the folks who held the hearing yesterday with the House Democratic Policy Committee to talk about the value of pre-K education and to make sure how we make sure it gets funded. Representative McCarter, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, it's great to be with you, Rick.
So let me, I guess the first question I have, and probably the most obvious in my mind is, explain to me why we should be funding pre-K programs and starting them when kindergarten in the state of Pennsylvania isn't mandatory. I mean, I would think that would be the first thing we should start with.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think that, you know, mandatory kindergarten is something that we have to move to immediately in the state of Pennsylvania. And I think then the governor's goal really is trying to get preschool education for all children, quality preschool education for all children down to age three. Something we need to strive for as well in the coming years.
So what do you say to the guy who says, "Wow, it's just babysitting. Come on, McCarter, that's just babysitting."
Well, you know, people can say it's babysitting, but the reality and the statistics and all the science shows very clearly that the younger we start children down to age three, we save tremendous amounts of, well, let's put it back, before we even talk about money, let's talk about the kids themselves. This is something that makes kids, you know, much more ready for school. It makes them much more able to compete in school, both academically and socially. And as a result of that, they're going to become far more productive citizens in the state of Pennsylvania with every dollar that we spend. Economically, every dollar we invest is going to bring back tremendous returns, and probably more returns than any other program we can probably find in the state of Pennsylvania. And we can talk about that in greater detail as we go along. But yeah, those are the two major areas that I think we need to think about.
Well, I look at my kids, and to be honest, the reason I'm a huge proponent of pre-K programs is I look at my kids. My wife and I, through considerable expense, we paid for our kids to go through a very high-quality pre-K program. In fact, all of our kids were reading before they got to kindergarten. And the reason I think it should be universal is because what ended up happening is our kids were so far ahead that they just kind of sat there while everyone else was catching up. And I think if every kid had that opportunity, that head start that our kids had, I think it would be much better not just my kids, but all of them.
No, and you've raised an excellent point. I mean, the cost of preschool education has now reached the point of roughly $11,000 a year for
a
quality program. And you know that. You know that personally. And so the result of that is that we have tremendous numbers of children that are below the poverty line, or if we take the figure of even 300% above the poverty line, we have a huge number of students in the state of Pennsylvania that never had that opportunity to get that kind of care. And so the governor's proposals this year to increase the amount of funding into the program by $120 million will allow an additional 14,000 children to be able to get good pre-quality education. And that's a 75% increase over where we are right now, but still leaves almost two-thirds, you know, of students still without that opportunity in those economic categories.
Well, what do you say to somebody who throws out the Terzi number? And the reason I played that is, you know, they throw out that huge number. We're spending all this money on education. I don't think it's enough. As you pointed out, you're going to spend $120 million more, and it's only going to be a small portion of the kids that need it. To me, it's not so much the big number that you're going to try and pop my eyes out with, but actually meeting the needs that we have as a commonwealth and that our citizens and our kids need.
Well, even by comparison, really, with our neighboring states, right now Pennsylvania spends 0.6% of its budget on preschool education. But if you look at our neighboring states, they range anywhere from 1.7% to 3% of their budgets go to preschool education. They've seen the need. States like West Virginia, and there are several others, and even the District of Columbia, have set up programs moving toward universal preschool education because they look at the statistics and they know that, you know, every dollar invested is going to bring back $1.79 in immediate short-term results and over $7 some studies show as high as $17 on that investment of $1. So there's no other program that we can find that can give you that kind of economic return and at the same time give our kids a chance to succeed in the classroom and be able to, you know, move away from special needs, which so many of them really go through more so now than ever before, it seems. Right. And even showing that, you know, 90% of all participants in these quality preschool programs show greater proficiency in literacy and numeracy and social skills after participating in these programs. So, you know, they're the ones who are going to see the immediate benefits because they're the ones that are going to have far more productive lives. But society as a whole, you know, gain so much more out of that. You know, we see lower dropout rates. We see lower teen pregnancy rates. We see lower rates of tobacco and drug use. And we see lower incarceration rates. All of those things, you know,
I mean, for me,
to our benefit.
For me, that last one is one of the most important ones. Breaking that classroom to prison pipeline that seems to be fully in place, and for me, there's just this perverse incentive with our privatized for profit prison industries that have taken over. That it seems to me that we'd want to break that right quick because the money we spend on locking someone up is an awful lot more than what we would spend on giving them early intervention, early pre-K, and quality education through their lives.
Yeah, how true. I mean, we spend $14,000 on average in PA for K-12 education, but we spend $40,000 plus for an inmate in prison. So if you want to keep, you know, the cost down and get more money to public education, then you want to do that is to cut down on the number of future inmates. And studies show very clearly, in a sense, that there's a, you know, a period of time when if you do the socialization early on, that, you know, I'm thinking back to one study, 83%, you know, of a decrease in problematic social and self-control behavioral problems in three-year-olds in programs. And, you know, by investing in this type of early education, you remove whatever it is in the infrastructure development of children that seems to take these risky behaviors that you know, end up costing us so much more in society.
Yeah, and I've often found that early socialization helps as well. I mean, the earlier you get kids working together and figuring out how to be a community and solve problems, I think that's another positive of early intervention.
Absolutely.
So how does this go forward? I mean, as you've pointed out, the governor has put some money towards it. It's not nearly the need that I think we have. Yet I don't see this budget, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, I don't see the Republicans who control our General Assembly having any appetite for increasing education funding or any of the rest of it.
Well, you know, the one thing I can point to, I think, that really says that, you know, this is, the area of preschool education seems to have pretty large-scale support. There is a, you know, the caucus that exists in the House right now has well over 130 members. And that's, you know, for a caucus, that's a huge amount. And that's bipartisan across the board. And, you know, people always speak favorably of preschool education. So for the amount of increase that we're talking about here, which is an astronomical, sounds, you know, anytime you say $100 million, people see that as a huge amount of money, but that investment is a small amount compared to what we make in certain things for trying to get additional jobs, but this kind of investment comes back many times over. So I think that this part of the budget in terms of education should be the easiest sell of all.
Good. Because to me, this is one of the more important parts of it. The funding for education, I think we need to be reinvesting in our kids. And I think that's what the governor ran on. We're going to tax the drillers. We're going to put it towards education so our kids have the tools that they need to compete into the future. And the other component is this, as you pointed out, are the jobs that will be created from this. You could make the argument this is a job-creating piece of the budget.
Absolutely. You know, as one of my colleagues said yesterday at the hearing very clearly, You know, either we spend it today or we're going to have to spend it many times more in the future.
Now, what was that commercial? You pay me now or pay me later?
That's exactly right. It was the old, was that the Fram oil, the oil Fram. In fact, Representative Brzezinski brought that up yesterday. And the same thing.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, and the sad reality is the longer we wait for this, the more costly it becomes. Because if we lose kids, you know, study after study has shown, and I'm sure you're as aware of these as I am, you lose kids by third grade, you never get them back. And that's a horrible that's a horrible statistic and a horrible study, but it's the truth.
It's very hard. Those of us who taught, and I mean, I taught for 35 years in the classroom. I know that, you know, looking back on that, you can identify the children who weren't able to make that transition, that early transition into, you know, to moving forward academically. And if you don't get them early, it makes it that much harder.
So let me change questions a little bit and kind of focus a little bit on the budget. I'm curious your thoughts on the governor's budget. I said earlier in the week, and you know when it came out, this is a big boy budget. This is saying we've got real problems, and this is how we get to the end of it. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, I agree. This is a very dynamic budget, really, in terms of looking at a lot of different areas and making changes that are very, you know, very not superficial. These are very fundamental changes. The way in which we look at revenue and how it comes into the state, who's responsible for what, trying to get some fairness in the system. And so when we talk about things like, lowering property tax and at the same time lowering, looking at some of the corporate taxes and then trying to shift that into some of the other areas such as the PIT, the personal income tax, or into sales tax, these are big questions that we're all going to have to wrestle with as to how these things work out to make it a fair system so that everybody's paying a fair share and at the same time moving forward in ways in which we can derive more revenue so that some of these critical programs can move forward.
Yeah, I said this is definitely a budget put forth by a guy who has no higher aspirations. This is a guy who sees a problem, and he's going to fix this problem because it's right. And that's one of the things I really like about this governor. I've always liked about Tom Wolf.
Yep, I agree completely. He looks into the future, you know, and he has a background of doing that, not only in business, but I think also in the social areas and, you know, and looking forward from a time when he invested himself into the Peace Corps and other things that I think he sees the big picture, and that's where we have to move. And you don't have a lot of time sometimes to think about that. You have to start moving forward on it or else we'll never get there.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm interested to see what's going to happen over the next couple of months as this budget, as the debates go on and the conversation is had, because I think they're extremely important. So last question I've got for you, back to the pre-K question. How do we help? How do I help? How do our listeners help? Because I think our listeners think this is a very important issue that should be pushed forward.
I think the key element is to really let people know that it has that twofold answer. Number one, it does so much for the kids themselves individually. And our kids deserve that. Not only do they deserve it, they actually have a constitutional mandate for that. So that's the first thing, to have a thorough and efficient education. The second area is that this is a great economic tool, really, to help the state, not just in the short term in terms of returns, but also in the long term of keeping, you know, larger numbers of kids away from the judicial system, away from the problems that kids get into at early years, and prepares them in ways to become productive citizens of Pennsylvania. If we can accomplish that and we can get that message across, then preschool education will become a reality, a universal reality in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we can turn things around. And in my hope, we break at least a big portion off of that classroom to prison pipeline. Representative
Absolutely.
McCarter, I appreciate you taking time for us. Really great talking with you. I'd love to have you back on the program.
Oh, that would be great.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much.